ما تعجل فرجهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. First of all, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity to be here in the name of Quran, in the name of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever He sends His blessing to someone, He guides him to learning of Islam and understanding of Islam and to think about your religion and the objectives of life. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity with the objective to get more of this blessing. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad Ali Muhammad wa ajil faratam. Not that much of time left from Maghrib. Today we were a bit late because of a bit of late arrival and then a disruption in the schedule. We have two main topics for today. First, which was announced, it was about Quran Fahmi, how to understand Quran, and the second one, which was just announced, preparation for Imam Zamana alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I will see both of them in one direction, is to improve ourselves, is to develop ourselves. Of course, these are the two sources of guidance. إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمُ السَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَإِتْرَتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. And whenever you talk about one of them, of course you have to think about the other one too. You have to keep both of them. So I will start with whole Quran, and with this discussion, inshallah, we will move to Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wasalam. Once again, please recite Durud. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. How to take Holy Quran and how to get in relation with the Holy Quran. Of course, we all believe in this great book, and as Muslim we respect this book, but I think there are certain points which can make a difference in our life regarding this great book and how to get guidance from Holy Quran. First of all, I do think that not a majority of Muslims are not in contact with the Holy Quran, not even in physical contact. I mean, being in the guidance of Holy Quran is something, but where we should start it from? Starting from reading. This is the first point. So, if we could make a survey in our society here or any Muslim world, any country of the Muslim world, what percentage we will get of people who are reciting Holy Quran on a daily basis? Not because of their participation in a majlis tarheem, and because of that majlis tarheem they have to recite something from Holy Quran. No, because of their own guidance. So, first of all, I think I have to make a commitment with Holy Quran and with myself that it should be kept alive in my life. And the first step of keeping this book alive in my life is to concentrate, is to have a commitment with Holy Quran that I have to be in touch with this book. So practically what you have to do, you have to commit yourself for a certain number of ayah, for a certain quantity of Holy Quran, which you can take it as the least quantity which I will recite daily. So you may take it 25 ayah, you may take it 50 ayah, you may take it 3 pages of Holy Quran, or whatever standard you want to make. But I think this is the starting point. You have to commit yourself, you have to restrict yourself that in the day, In every 24 hours, I have to have a link with the Holy Quran, and it can be started with one page or a few verses of Holy Quran. So if someone don't have this in the life, then I will recommend that you have to make a commitment. Brothers and if sisters are listening to, lectures can be delivered, and you can get thousands of lectures, if not hundreds of thousands, on internet, on everything. Regarding Quran, regarding politics, regarding history and beliefs and practices. But I think having lectures or listening to lectures is something, and started practicing something, it is the point where we have to reach. So if I had been in Qom for 12 years, and if I am working as a student of these studies for last 31 years, I don't think it will make any difference if I have not started my practice accordingly. So first thing first, I will recommend you, if you don't have this schedule in your life, make a schedule. And that schedule should consist of a few verses of the Holy Quran or a certain quantity of pages, number of pages, which you have to recite every day. Now, have to recite, what did it mean? It means that you can't sleep without that. You can't sleep it. So if you have missed it in the morning, you have to keep it in afternoon. And I will recommend you to make a certain timing in the Holy in your day for Holy Quran. So you will make it, for example, after Fajr. And if I missed after Fajr, then, for example, 3 p.m. at afternoon. And if I missed that, then before going to bed. So make a certain place for Holy Quran. I missed that, I will go to Suchwa to the second one. If I could not make second one, I will go to the third one. And starting of the day, you have to decide. At the starting of the day, your default time is after Fajr. And if you have missed after Fajr, then you have to decide which one, afternoon or evening, I'm going to do this. So take it serious. And even just starting this practice will give you a connection with the Holy Quran. I'm going to the second point. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. What is the main difference beside Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. What is the main difference between Holy Quran and a book of, for example, history or physics or mathematics? They are not living books. Holy Quran is living. This is a book which has its own existence. And not only the book as a whole has its existence, but every single copy of Holy Quran has its own existence. So you have a child who is a living being, and he understands or she understands, and you keep and you deal with child like a living being, understanding something, though not understanding everything. How you should deal with Holy Quran? Dead or alive? Alive? Understanding everything or not understanding? Is this the way we are dealing with Holy Quran? I don't think. So we have many scripts of Holy Quran or copies of Holy Quran not being touched for months or years. Are we dealing with a living person, not getting in touch with him for many years in our home? Is it possible? Even a plant cannot grow without being attended. So what about Holy Quran? And you may say that this is your imagination. Holy Quran never has that sort of existence. We have certain traditions which says that every copy of Holy Quran, Mushaf, a copy of Holy Quran, will complain in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment that I was in his home and he never touched me. He never opened me. And if it was useless for him, why he kept me here? Why he had not delivered that book to anyone else? So we have to deal with this. My second point is, you have a schedule to follow for Holy Quran in the morning or afternoon or evening. Then you have to deal with Holy Quran as a living book. It's a book living. Now, just a lighter, in the lighter mood, what if I don't read Quran from a certain hard copy? If I read it from my laptop or from my mobile, is it living or non-living? Book is not the page. Pages were not revealed. binding was not revealed. Meaning and text was revealed. So these are living. When it was revealed to the Holy Prophet, it was not written on a page. So pages were not revealed, binding was not revealed, even I can say, writing was not revealed. It was the word which was revealed, and the meaning behind those words which were revealed to the Holy Prophet. So keep it in a book, or on a copy, or on a mobile, they are living. They are living. And do we have any proof of that, that dealing with Holy Quran like a living being? We have many events and we have many stories regarding Holy Quran. In one of the events, which is not a story actually, a fact, a person had an ability of seeing istikhara from Holy Quran, and he was blind. And he was totally, in our terms, illiterate. He could not read. And he used to see istikhara from Holy Quran. People used to give him the holy book, and he will keep the book in his hand, and then he will see istikhara, and he will tell you it is good for you or bad. Then someone asked him, how you distinguish, is it good or bad? You can't read. You don't know how to read Arabic, or Persian even. And then, just to try him, someone gave him a copy of encyclopedia in his hand, with the same weight and size, and told him to see an istikhara. He just touched the book and said, it is not Quran. It's not Quran. He said, how you could understand that? Then just to test him, what they did, they brought those ancient writings of Arabic. You should have seen books which were written by hand, handwritten scripts. And in those handwritten scripts, fonts would not change if it is normal Arabic or a verse of Holy Quran. So if it was by hand, they will keep the same font, in the same font, writing, going on. There's no full stop, there's no question mark, there's no sign of exclamation. And you have normal Arabic writing of an author, and then if he quotes a verse of Holy Quran, it will come in between. And they used to give him such type of book, and he could distinguish where is Holy Quran by touching the hand. This is Holy Quran. And he was absolutely illiterate, could not see, but he could distinguish from a single page that which part of that is Holy Quran. Now, how he could do that? Surely it was not a magic. Surely it was not a magic. They call it Nuraniyat of Holy Quran, the light within Holy Quran. Some of them are blind, some of them are illiterate, they can't read, but they can feel the light of the Holy Quran, the Nurani, the spirituality of Holy Quran. So what I will recommend as my second point is you take this book, whenever you have this book, or you are in front of that book, or in the presence of that book, you feel it as in the presence of someone who is living, and someone who is watching you, someone who is observing you. So, for example, just to take this great book in our hand, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Am I dealing with this book as a living book? Of course not. Had we were dealing with this book as a living being, we could not ignore it. We could not ignore that. And leave alone if someone is not respecting accordingly. And unfortunately, this is happening. Just in the brackets, whenever you see sacredness of religion being compromised, get an idea that the whole religion will be compromised in that society. Don't leave sacredness of religion being compromised. Otherwise, the whole religion will be compromised. So respect this sanctity and what we call taqaddus. These are holy things. We have to keep a certain level of respect for this book, though that level of respect should not go up to the level of hindrance in the utilization of that book. But respect should be kept. So this is good. You have a place to keep the book, a distinguished place to keep the book, and say, okay, this is the book. And when you are keeping these books, those who are familiar with these type of discussions and those who were masters of these fields, one of them was Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, a great alim of Iraq. And he was from Iran, and then he moved to Iraq and lived there and studied there and taught there. And he had students who were working with different ulama, and at the same time there were many urafa when Sheikh Murtaza Ansari was there. And one of those urafa had a student, and that student had a few books in his cupboard at home, at his room in the madrasa. And while he was sleeping, he thought my feet were going towards those books. And he said, my room is very, small place, and if I extend my feet, it goes up towards the book. Is it good or not? Should I change my direction? And he was thinking about these things, and he saw one of the urafa of that time, and he met him, and he was wondering if that person is really an arif or not. So the guy who was really an arif looked at him and he said, no, you should not extend your feet towards books. No, don't do this. It's not good for you. So he taught him, and he made him realize that yes, this person is an irfan, and he knows that. So we have to have a sort of respect for Holy Quran, deal it as a living being. Now, this was my second point. Now the third one is Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. One of the greatest scholars of our time, though we are a few years late from his age. He died in 1984, I think, or 82, I can't remember. Allama Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, writer of Al-Mizan. While he was writing Al-Mizan, what was his pattern? One of his students used to come and write what he was saying regarding the tafsir. And he explained in one of his books the student that it was a very normal way that I used to go to his home. He used to dictate me that write this thing in the tafsir, and then we reached to an ayah and he recites an ayah and started thinking on that. And he said he used to keep his head on the Holy Quran, just like hiding his face this way, and started crying. And at some of the times, I used to stay for half an hour, so he could stop crying and dictate me. And some of the time, all the time of dictation used to go in the same way. He just used to keep his face inside Holy Quran and crying for many hours. What he was thinking about Quran? What he was getting from it? This is really strange. A person who was master of philosophy. Seldom we see a person like him at the caliber of that person living in between us. Shaykh Murtaza Mutahhari, in one of his writings, said that I don't think we could have any tafsir better than Al-Mizan in the whole history of Islam. In the whole Islamic history. So that person used to think on an ayah and used to cry for hours. And was that the first time he was reading that verse? Could it happen? No. They were great in their efforts for Holy Quran. Now just take the current leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and he is not young now. And in one of his interviews he said, I don't find myself strong enough to recite Quran that much, which I used to recite in my earlier times. And he then explained, he said, when I was young, I used to recite 10 parts of Holy Quran every day. And now I can't find myself strong enough to do this. Oh my Lord. 10 para of Quran, 10 parts of Quran every day. So we have to think. My second point is take it as living being. Now the third point is think over it. How can we understand what is inside Holy Quran without thinking about it? Now, this is easy to say think, but hard to explain what to think. What to think? Yeah, for example, when I started my education in religious studies, I was reading Holy Quran and said, Al-Qari'a mal-Qari'a wa ma adraka mal-Qari'a. What I should think here? كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. So what I should think? I don't have anything to think. Now, if you want to think on Holy Quran, you have to, what I could understand, first you have to bridge in between you and Holy Quran. It should start from here. In the words of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدْ اللَّهُمَّ صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدْ. In one of his khutbah, he said, istantiqu, istantiqu. This is a book which you have to make it spell out. Istantiqu, bring him to nutq. And nutq is saying something, thinking something. We call humanity insan natiq because it thinks, not only speaks. So, Amir Mumineen said, istantiqu. Make this book speak to you. Speak with thinking. And speak with rationality. So, can I make this book speak? Can I make this book talk to me? Yes. The words of Amir Mumineen saying, yes, this is possible. So, how it could happen? You think on it, and you ask Holy Quran to guide you. Here, this book will start speaking to you. Because you are asking the book to speak. So if you don't ask it to speak, it will keep itself silent. You have to recite. But you ask book to speak, then in most of the time, you will be silent and it will recite by itself. How it will recite by itself? Is it a magic? No, it's not a magic. Ideas and meanings of Holy Quran, it will start coming into your mind. And you will start getting meanings from the Holy Quran which you never had thought about it. So I don't think Allama Tabai, and surely it was not the case, Allama Tabai was not reciting that verse for the first time. He would have recited that for hundreds of times earlier than that. But then there was a meaning which came to the mind of Allama Tabatabai, and he started crying. And he started crying. So if we start thinking about Holy Quran, and we start pondering on it, then I'm sure it will start giving you the meaning. So what should be the starting point in this third level? Is this third level which you are, where you start thinking about the Holy Quran? Where you should start from? I will use a term which is normally used in business, which is capital. What is your capital in dealing with Holy Quran? Just to give you an example, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Whenever you go to business, you need a few things. And normally people think that you need money to start with. You have to have some sort of financial resources to start a business. But normally I say no. You need two things. First one is not money, it is innovation. You have to have an innovation, innovative idea to start a business with. So if you have no innovative idea, then you will all dependent upon money. So you have to buy a big land, make a very big superstore, and do something with a bang and come in if you don't have innovation. But if you have innovation, then you can start with very small financial resources and you will keep earning. What is your dealing with the Holy Quran? In the third level, you have to think on it. What is your capital? What is your edge? Why this book should talk to you and not anyone else? Do you have enough financial resources? Do you have any innovation? And what are your financial resources and what is your innovation in this field? I think your ibadat are your financial resources and your control and ethics and morals is your innovation. more you have control on yourself at the level of ethics and morals, more is your capital in dealing with this book. More your ibadat, more you have financial resources. So this is how you can deal with Holy Quran. So if you are dealing with Holy Quran at the level of thinking, pondering and getting meaning, you should have two things. First one is your ibadat, and second one is your control on your morals and ethics. More you have these two, more you will get meaning from Holy Quran. So la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. No one can touch except when purified. Everyone can touch Holy Quran. Everyone can touch this book. Even pagans can touch that. Then what is the meaning of la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun? No one can get the meaning of Holy Quran except the one who is purified. So that's why I recommended you recite the Holy Quran in the morning. Because at night, you are not doing anything wrong. You are sleeping. In the morning you wake up, now you have woken up with a new day. At least for a few hours, we were purified and we were away from sins. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Jazakumullah khairah. And again, for health and longer life of Maulana and more tawfiqat for all of you, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So, these are your assets. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. No one can touch it except when he is purified. And that's why I told you, I recommended that we recite Holy Quran in the morning, because for the duration of night we are away from sin. Now we are fresh, and with this fresh mind and inshallah with fresh soul, you are going to start your day with the Holy Quran, asking Holy Quran to help you practically asking. So I remember in one of the sayings, Ayatollah Behjat said, while he was asked that, I can't concentrate in my prayer, what I should do? He said, before starting your prayer, ask Imamul Asr to help you. Make him wasita. Ask him to help you in concentration of your prayer. So if you are reciting Holy Quran, and this is when you are thinking on Holy Quran, you're trying to think on Holy Quran, then I will recommend, number one, you get help from Imamul Asr. And he is the one who is equivalent to the Holy Book, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ السَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَإِتْرَتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. So you ask his help, help my Imam, I could get the meaning of Holy Quran, I could get the spirit of Holy Quran. And second thing what you should do, I think what we should do, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. To get that purity, with that purity we can touch Holy Quran. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَاهَرُونَ. So before starting thinking on Holy Quran, I need to get help from Imam, and I need to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I can think on Holy Quran and I can start it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I'm bringing it to the end. What is the time for Maghrib? 55. Okay, so we have 5-7 minutes. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. In a simple claim or observation, even we can say that this book has everything. Now, what do you mean by everything? لا رد بن ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Someone came to me and he said, can I find how to make sugar from sugar cane in the Holy Quran? I said, no. So he said, why the book said, لَا رَدْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is in Holy Quran. So why I can't find formula for this and that thing? So someone might tell me that, no, you can find it, go through it. I said, it's not needed here. It is not a book of biology or physics, not a book of chemistry or history, not a book of even psychology or politics or sociology. It's a book of guidance. So whatever needed for my guidance, it will be available here in the best of its form. So there is no need for Holy Quran to tell me that what happened, for example, 3000 years BC. It's not a book of history. Should not. There is no formula, no mathematical formula written here in the mathematical language here. Why? Because it's not a book of mathematics. So what is this book for? It's a book of guidance. What type of guidance? Now this is important. What type of guidance this book will provide me? And what shape of guidance this book will provide me? What type of guidance I do need? For my life, up to now, as I told you, it's now 31 years and I'm being a religious student working on a few of these topics. What is important for me now, at least now, I need to know the rules of this existence. What's happening here? You know, you have controlled your weather by knowing the rules of physics and, for example, thermodynamics and these and a few principles like these. You have covered your distance by knowing the rules of relevant sciences. You have reached up to space by knowing the rules of relevant sciences. Now, what if you could get the rules of happiness? You could get happiness. You could have sorted out your problems, worries, anxieties. If you could get the rule, what are the rules, general rules of happiness? And which book will explain it to you? This book should explain. So this book might not tell you what is the way of making sugar or, for example, atomic energy. But this book can tell you what is the way of getting happiness. What is the way of getting tranquility in your life? What is the way of keeping your bonds with your loved ones intact, which are now in trouble in our society? These are our problems. So if I have everything of my life, unfortunately, I could not have the love of my loved ones, then what? Will you lose something or not? There will be a deep scar on your heart. I have everything, but in fact nothing. You could not feel that. This is where this book will help you. So it might not tell you, but I'm sure it will tell you. It will tell you. It might not tell you how to become wealthy, and I am telling you in brackets, it will tell you. But if you assume that it's not going to tell you, there's no difference. It can tell you how to be happy, because with happiness, you can have everything. And with... Now you believe in... As a Muslim, you believe in two lives. Life here and life in hereafter. Which one is longer? Of course, the hereafter. Which type of life you want to live better? Here or there? In fact, I will ask for both. Here and there, both of them. Is it possible? Yes, this book can tell you how to live, which will make you happy in this life, and how to live, which will make you happy in that life. Now, these are the common problems, these are the common rules, which this book can guide us, and inshallah tomorrow, we will give you a few examples of how we can extract rules from Holy Quran, and inshallah we'll work on it. Finally, just to give an idea of how simply it can happen. Beauty in religion, which I like, I used to study philosophy when I was in Qom, and it was one of my favorite subjects for many years, but then I turned myself to social sciences because of the need of my society. The beauty in the Holy Quran, it is not as complicated as philosophy, but it is much more useful than philosophy. This is what I like in Holy Quran. It's very simple. Words are very simple. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ So simple. But it's much more useful than any other science. Now this is the way religion guides us. A person finally this example and that's the end, inshallah. A person came to the Holy Prophet and said, your religion is tough for me. The Holy Prophet said, no, my religion is easy. Why it is tough? He said, if I try to make Allah happy, people get annoyed from me. And if I try to make them happy, then Allah is annoyed. How can I make both of them happy? The Holy Prophet said, no, my religion is good. It can guide you. You can make both of them happy. So he gave this tradition. He said, keep zuhud in this dunya. Azhid fi dunya yuhibbukallah. Keep zuhud. Keep your desires away from this world, not just stuck in this world, and Allah will love you. And don't look at what people have in their hand, and people will love you. Two simple rules. Don't be greedy of dunya, Allah will love you. Don't be greedy of possessions of people, they will love you. So simple. And this is how Holy Quran deals. This is how Holy Prophet used to deal. The guys who were sitting in front of Holy Prophet, they were not PhDs. They were not masters in their fields. Most of them were, at least in this term, illiterate. They used to raise, for example, sheep and cows, and they used to work in farmlands. But this is how the Holy Prophet used to guide. I will not take much of your time. It is now Maghrib, and inshallah tomorrow we will work on a few rules of the Holy Quran with examples, and we'll keep this going till we will reach to the point where we will discuss the how to help our Imam, Imamul Asr alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.